All right, I think I'm live. I'd like to wait a minute. Well, while those guys are waiting, I will tell you that on Thursday I was in Eau Claire and I was teaching a class of being built from the national class on advanced mergers and acquisitions. So besides answering any biblical questions today, I'll answer any questions about the mergers and acquisitions. I'm hoping the two talks don't get conflated. All right. Well, we're talking about Elisha. And while getting ready for this, I did a lot of research into Elisha, and I found out some surprising things. He is credited with founding a Jewish school of mysticism called Kabbalah. And besides the Kabbalah being about mystical ways to get to God, its principal teaching is that through prayer, you can interact with God and create what they call a thin place, a place where God is easily found, and if you can find him. And when I was reading about that, it occurred to me, we have a thin place right here. Every time I walk into this Bible study, I feel the Spirit of the living God moving among us. And it's so strong that wouldn't be surprised to suddenly see Jesus sitting next to somebody there. Mike's calling me, Jesus next to him. Anyway. So, and it talked about the power of prayer. And when I pray and I'm in this room, I feel the power of prayer so strongly. But sometimes when I pray that I'm not in this room, I don't feel the power of prayer so strongly. But there's a way to have that power of prayer all the time. And that is when you pray, and I invite you to try it this week, mentally put yourself in this room. Look around at the people you're with and think about them, and you're invoking the power of prayer. So to begin with, I am praying for each man in this room. Because Jesus, all of us feel outnumbered at times, defeated, and that our burdens are too much. But we know with your power, nothing is too much. Let every man in this room and me know you are always with us. You are the Lord of hosts, and with you we are never outnumbered. And I invite every man to pray some prayer like that, and put all of us in the room when you do that. Because we all need prayer. And we need the most powerful prayer that we can get. And during the time of Elisha, the world was even more screwed up than it is today. And there were all these little countries and all these kings, mostly who were just warlords. And there were all these competing false gods. And Jehovah was having a really tough time. By the way, in the Hebrew Bible, when they translate Jehovah, they refer to Jehovah as the Lord of hosts, H-O-S-T-S, and it has a double meaning. First of all, it means the people that work together to fight with the Lord, so if you have an army or a group, that's the host, but it also refers to the angels. So in the conception of Elisha and the Kabbalah, every time that there is a battle, the Lord of hosts is always there, and he's always bringing his angels. And Jesus tried to explain this to Pilate, that he wasn't there alone, but he had a heavenly host at his command. And each man in this room has a heavenly host at his command if you just pray to God. So I'm going to read the passage from, and this is from the New International Version of Kings 6:8-19. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up a camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Armenians are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel every word you speak in your bedroom. Go out and find where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men to capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. And then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and they surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed. And when he opened his eyes, Lord, he said, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hill full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. So that Bible lesson tells us that the Lord is always with us. Now, people say, well, that was then, this is now. The Lord isn't doing that anymore. Well, I beg to contradict you. And there's a new documentary coming out, and it's called Pray the Devil Back to Hell.
All right.
And what it's based on is, I don't know how many of you are familiar with a country in Africa called Liberia. And Liberia was founded by freed American slaves. One of the solutions to the slavery problem, some of the politicians thought to be to send all the Africans back to Africa. So they went around and bought up African slaves and sent them back to Africa, which makes Liberia an interesting country because it's almost totally Protestant, and the native language is English. And they had a pretty good history until a man took over whose name was Charles Taylor. Now, Charles Taylor, right now as we speak, is in trial at The Hague for war crimes and crimes against humanity. And ironically enough, his principal backer was Gaddafi. So things aren't going well. But the Nobel Peace Prize was just awarded to a woman named Lema Roberta Gabowee. And she got the Nobel Peace Prize because the following thing happened. All of the Charles Taylor had mercenaries and had armies, and he was sending them over to all places, including Sierra Leone. And he was killing people by the buckets. And in addition to that, he let his soldiers do anything that they wanted with the women. So rape was a daily occurrence. Can you imagine that? And the women were also always losing their children, who were being taken as young as 87 to be part of Charles Taylor's army. So the woman whose name I just said, I'll call her Roberta because that's the word I pronounce. One day, woke up and said, I've had enough of this. And she got by the side of the road where the president passed every day, and she sat down and started praying and invoking Jesus. Well, a few minutes later, a couple other women joined her. And then more women joined her. And pretty soon it had 250,000 women praying every day. So that when Charles Taylor went out and when he came back, he would see these women. And eventually there were some Muslim women that even joined them. So, and all they did, which I shouldn't say all, they did is they prayed. And that put an end to Charles Taylor. Eventually some of the men joined him. Can you imagine that? You're hungry, you've been raped, you've been beaten, and you get out there and you pray. They just had an election in Liberia. And they have actually a woman president. But the Liberian women are so afraid of the politicians and the incivility that they bring and the wars and famines and everything else that they, through the whole voting takes about 10 days. And 250,000 women sat down and prayed every hour of the day that the election would be peaceful and that the politicians would work in the best interest of the people of Liberia. So think about what we would be like if we tried that. And maybe we would actually get something done. Now, to pray the devil back to hell is a documentary. Now, this woman was on television with Tavis Smiley, and she said over and over again, "We could not have done this without God." Think about that. They could not have done it without God. There's an article in a magazine, and it's titled "North of Nowhere." And this is about what happened the last 7 days. The women have been praying and fasting for peaceful elections for the past 7 days and finished up today. I visited the field numerous times throughout the week and photographed the women as they prayed. Each day offered a new window into Liberian culture, faith, and ritual. And the complex range of emotions that Liberian women experience while praying and reflecting on the two civil wars, anger, sorrow, a sense of devastation, and horror, and a feeling of relief that in real and material terms, the battle was over, and a great deal has changed since then. After listening to the jumble and sometimes incoherent stories and prayers, I kept asking the same question, and I always got the same answer. Did the suffering you experienced ever cause you to lose faith in God? And the answer was the same. He carried us through. I wouldn't have survived without him. So, if you don't think that God is alive and well and working in today's world, then you are mistaken. A dictator who they sent three different countries to try to get rid of him, could not do it. But 250,000 women prayed by the side of the road every day, and God removed Charles Taylor. So the next time you run into an atheist, ask him about the Liberian miracle. You don't have to go back to Elisha. You can just look at that. Now, you know, most of us, we aren't thankfully faced with a dictator who is just taking our sons and daughters, and we're not being raped, thankfully. But we do live in a very difficult world, and we all struggle. And a lot of our struggles are internal. Our toughest battles are often with our sin nature, our shadow. And so we need the heavenly host just as much as the people of Israel or the Liberians. We need that heavenly host to help us. And we all have a sin nature. It's very interesting to me. There's a man named Jung who is a disciple of Freud. And Carl Jung made himself his famous work, which was praised and made him famous, was about the shadow. He talked about how every person has a dark side, a shadow that's not acknowledged. And then when you don't acknowledge your shadow, that you become weak, and that you become prey to all sorts of temptations and deviancy and everything. And that the only way to become a whole human being is to incorporate that shadow. Well, we Christians don't call it a shadow. We call it our sin nature. But Jung's solution was the same solution that we Christians espouse, except we didn't get any prizes for it. So, and that is to ask Jesus to be with us in our sin nature and help us turn our sin nature for good. And I speak to you today not as an authority, a perfect person, or anything like that. The great thing about Jesus Christ is he removed the need to be perfect. He is the perfect person. None of us have to be the perfect person. We all need to acknowledge our sin nature. Things in the law business have been tough. There's been some things at the firm that have been tough, and I have been feeling a little bereft. But I've also realized that my sin nature was getting the best of me because I was obsessed thinking about money and what type of money do I have and what happens if the economy keeps to go down. But most of what I was afraid of was, you know, I've got this reputation for being a great lawyer, I bring in clients, all this stuff. Who am I if I'm not that person? Well, the answer is, I am a child of God. And that's the most important thing about me. And everything else in pride is false. So, and we're all under a lot of stress right now. And some of us deal with it well, but lots of people under stress, they take cocaine, they take alcohol, they look at pornography, and they don't acknowledge their own sin nature. They don't ask Jesus' help to deal with their sin nature. So we need to know that when we pray, that we are praying that Jesus help us with our sin nature and turn it to good. If you don't, scientifically proven, if you don't accept the nature of what you call it, the shadow, your dark side, your sin nature, if you don't do it, you're much more prone to fall. And the more that you espouse Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the more the devil would like you to fall. So some of the strongest Christians, Haggard, and I can name many more, fell. But when Haggard fell, he did a documentary, he said he could never admit to God or never go before God and say that he wasn't perfect. He couldn't even do that with his congregation. And you know what happened to Ted Haggard. So the only way to handle the devil, the evil that wants to turn us away from God and away from our mission, is to pray. But also, when you pray, admit that you have a sin nature, that you are tempted to do all sorts of things that you shouldn't do, and that you want God to be your rock, and you want God to send those angels to you to help you deal with all of these temptations, whatever the problem may be, and to look your sin nature squarely in the eye. When I was a young lawyer, I worked for a state contract agency called Corrections Legal Services Program. And we did civil work for people who were in prison or parole. One point I could say I had been in every prison in Wisconsin. So one day I went to see a man, I'm going to call him Roy. And Roy was in jail or in prison for being a pederast. He had sexually molested some little boys. So, and he said it was absolutely important that I come and see him. So I said to him, all right, Lori, what's the problem? He said, 6 weeks from today, they're letting me out of prison. And so I said, what's the issue? He said, I have become a Christian since I've been in prison. And I've been praying to Jesus every day, but I'm not sure that I can resist the temptation to molest little boys again. And I do not want to be outside where that temptation will come to me. So what I did with Roy is we went to court and asked the judge to have Roy continue to be detained. We asked him to have him detained in a locked mental facility. The judge thought we were nuts. And he said, well, the guy's getting out. I said, he is asking for your help not to re-offend. Because he knows that he sinned, and he testified to this, and he knows that his praise is Jesus Christ. And Jesus has said you need help. So after a lot of legal battles, we got him into the mental health facility in Oshkosh, where he stayed for about 8 years and then finally was released when he was actually cured. But that is the type of praying to acknowledge your sin nature. So instead of re-offending and pretending he was all right, he admitted to Jesus and to everyone else that he still needed the help. And we all have those battles. So we need to embrace our sin nature and ask Jesus to help us use it for good and help us deal with those temptations. You know, men are very bad at dealing with temptations, and they often strike out. And when the physical abuse of women is still a big issue, and it's and most physical abusers, by the way, were physically abused themselves. And the only way that they can express their fear and their anger is to strike out and beat women. And there have finally started to be groups for, like, Alcoholics Anonymous for these people. And the first thing that they do is they acknowledge that they cannot beat this temptation alone. They need their higher power. So you have to admit that you have a sin nature, and then you need to have your higher power help you. Well, before I stop, I set my timer, so maybe I'm almost done here anyway. Yep, I got 10 seconds left. We in this room are really blessed because we don't have to call him our higher power or the force. What do we call him? Jesus. We call him Jesus.
Jesus!
Amen. So as I leave you today, when you get to your tables, I want you to pray for everyone at that table. And I want you to pray for each other all week. And we're all here in this room every time we pray. And thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.